Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. A really cool guest coming up here this week. We get the chance to catch up with the transfer quarterback for FIU in the middle of spring practice, J.J. Cole. Going to join us on the podcast, talk all things his career, his life, his journey to this point and becoming a Panther. Second time turns out to be the charm, not only for JJ, but a couple of his teammates. We'll get into that and so much more as we get closer to the spring game and closer to year number two in fall under head coach Willie Simmons. Quick time out here on the FIU Athletics Pod. On the other side, JJ Cole on deck.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest innovations to create a treatment plan personalized for you, no matter who you are. Our team of orthopedic and sports medicine specialists have the expertise to help you get back out there performing at your best. And with top-notch recovery and physical therapy, you'll be back in the game and living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to pro-level orthopedic care. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and as a former police SWAT officer, I know what it takes to build a great team and to be a great operator. I've applied these principles in building the world's only total relocation company. From listing your house for sale to finding your dream home and everything in between, Good Greek can do it all. Good Greek also offers junk removal and auto shipping to complement our renowned moving and storage business. For your total relocation solutions, go to goodgreek.com.
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
A really fun conversation today, one we've been looking forward to for a while. QB1 joins us on the pod, J.J. Cole, checking in. Excited to have you. And I always ask every newcomer this first question, J.J., why FIU? What drew you down here to Miami?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is just relationships. My story is a little different in how I got here to FIU. I started out, I went to Iowa State for 2 years. I grew up in Iowa. Grew up going to Iowa State games. My dad went to Iowa State. So I grew up going to Iowa State games, chose Iowa State right out of high school. Was there for 2 years. I ended up not winning a quarterback battle. I ended up leaving, trying to find playing time. And then after my second season, I hit the portal. And two schools that I was really considering, it was FIU and App State. I ended up choosing App State, was there this last season, played, you know, but it wasn't really the relationship piece that I was looking for. So I ended up leaving App State this last year after relationally, it just didn't make sense. And then that relationship that I had with Coach Simmons and Coach Coleman after I was in the portal the first time, that kind of came back around. And I remember how they treated me, how they treated my family. It was just something that I wanted to be a part of.
Yesterday, we were talking about how when you were in the portal, you noticed Greg was there. You were kind of urging him. I'm curious for you, what was the conversation with Brayshon like? Obviously, on a very similar journey, right? Visited here last year, coming over from App. What was that conversation between you two?
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. We both left for similar reasons. Both kind of saw things the same. That was just kind of cool, too, seeing him come from App State, you know, us being former teammates, us being together last year. You know, it's just crazy. This whole college landscape and this portal stuff, it's weird. Like having teammates, former teams, but now we're teammates again, just on different teams. It's just weird. But no, I love it. Brayshon, Greg, even Anthony Cunningham, D lineman, who was with me at Iowa State as well. He's also here. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of cool, you know, being teammates and being reunited with some of these guys.
You get that familiarity, which is awesome. But you mentioned the quarterback battles, right? Obviously, Rocco was phenomenal at ISU and App. You battle. You get your opportunity, though, in both spots, right? How did you stay mentally locked in for when that opportunity did come that gets you the looks of a Willie Simmons and creates the chance here at FIU?
College football is so, it's hard to describe, but it's football as a whole is such a pure sport, and it's so hard but so fulfilling at the same time. And there's so many challenges that you go through. I feel like you really can't prepare for it at all. And I feel like sometimes, you know, I just found myself last season just felt like it pushed me closer to my faith. My faith is something that's really important to me, and it's something that's kind of been a driving force for me, because the season's hard. The season's really, really long. And 1 week everyone loves you, and the next week everyone hates you, and they want you on the bench and all those things. But I feel like my family, my inner circle, along with my faith, are two things that kind of are really big to me and help me get through tough times.
Faith's one of our Fs here at FIU, so it doubly works out. Where did that kind of start for you?
I would say growing up, I always went to church, always was in Bible study groups and all of that stuff. And then when I got to college, I had a really, really good church that I went to at Iowa State. Really grew my faith there. Cornerstone Church in Ames, Iowa. Really, really good church there. And then this last year at App State, we had a really good group of guys for our Bible study. We had some really, really tough conversations. I think just through football, like obviously, you know, there's a lot of guys from different backgrounds playing different positions, doing different things. But one thing we all united with is our faith in Christ. I think that's something that is far more important, far more fulfilling than the game of football.
You mentioned your dad. You mentioned Iowa State. It's funny because in youth football, the quarterback is usually the kicker just because he's the best athlete on the team. Yeah. I have to imagine you had some of that, but maybe not as much because you were the best athlete, though you were. Your dad's kind of a pretty good kicker. So is that where it started for you, QB slash K?
Yeah, I kicked growing up. I could still kick today. Kicked a little bit in high school and in middle school, and I had a lot of fun with it. But sure. I guess kicking and punting are a little different because kickers usually have smaller feet, and my feet are too big to kick, so I can't really kick as much, but I can punt a little bit too.
What was that conversation like with your dad, though, where you say, hey, I know kicking is what you did, right? But quarterback is going to be the path that is forward for me.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because, yeah, he was a kicker and he worked with me in kicking all the time. My grandpa, he would work with me all the time as well. But I felt like throwing the ball, that's where I was the most gifted. Even since when I was a little kid, just throwing a football around, I felt like that's where I was naturally the best at. So that's where something where we both kind of realized that early. So he kind of pushed me in that area to grow there, see how good of a quarterback I could become.
I'm curious, what were the lessons like when you've got guys like Thomas Morstead and Marquette King, they're all around, right? As he's talking to you and basically doing a kicking camp with you, what was that like?
It's crazy. I mean, Pat McAfee, like, man, these guys are in the NFL and guys who had really good careers, Super Bowl winning kickers and punters, and like they're just around the house and my dad's training with them, doing private lessons. And that was kind of the cool part is he'd bring me along and I would shag and I would just shag the balls for them. And it was so cool just being around some of these guys and just learning from them and their experiences and what their stories were like. And it was so cool, you know, seeing my dad just work with some of these NFL college guys and, you know, seeing them on, you know, Super Bowl Sunday or seeing them just throughout the season and primetime games, making game-winning field goals and all that stuff. So it's really cool what my dad does.
And then when you get to I-State, like you mentioned, you grew up going there, your dad was there. That first game in the stadium, what's the emotion like for you? As you really, I imagine, accomplished a dream right there.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember the night of when I first got offered there. I mean, that was really, really special. And then that first game, I remember getting off the bus and just being a little emotional because it was like, I grew up, I went to all the games, and when I was a little kid, like, Iowa State wasn't really that good of a program. They were struggling, and then Coach Campbell got there and kind of turned things around, and it was so surreal to be actually out there on the field versus being one in the stands. To be a part of that, that was so cool, and that was such a special moment for me because, you know, I grew up an Iowa State fan. My dad played there, and, you know, it was just cool to see just how different Iowa State football was growing up versus what it was, you know, when I was there. But it was really cool for me and a really special moment for me when I walked out on that field for the first time.
And Ankeny's a lot closer to Des Moines, if I know my Iowa geography correctly. So you were kind of on the other end of the Cy-Hawk rivalry geographically, right?
It was pretty close because it's kind of a straight line. So at the bottom, say, of the line is Des Moines, in the middle is Ankeny, and then Ames is on top. And they're all, so like from Ames to Des Moines, about an hour, and then Ankeny to like Des Moines or Ames is about 30 minutes. So it's all kind of close. Yeah, it's kind of weird because like it's called the Hawkeye State.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I grew up an Iowa State fan. A lot of my friends growing up were all Hawkeye fans and all that stuff. But no, it was cool.
Were those fun conversations when especially Iowa State got going a little bit and you got to talk a little smack?
Yeah, it's finally because like growing up, like it's a big thing in Iowa because there's no professional teams.
Right.
So Iowa and Iowa State are the professional teams. So whenever Iowa and Iowa State would play for football, you know, the whole state was shut down. And the whole week leading up to it, I remember in elementary school, everyone would wear their jerseys and all that stuff. And, you know, Iowa would get the better end of Iowa State more times than not.
Sure.
And then, you know, in recent years, Iowa State's got them. So it's been kind of funny talking to some of those Iowa fans and giving them, you know, what they deserve.
Keeping it on your prep process a bit, and maybe it was telling that you're around all those NFL guys, because you look at that Elite 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're throwing to the best of the best of the best, guys doing it on Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember from that process where you're literally around the best football players on earth?
Yeah, that was really special, and it's kind of cool to see some of those guys now, like in my grade, like seeing them on the combine, seeing them get ready for draft prep, and it's just like, it's so cool to see some of those guys and what they're accomplishing. It is cool to be around some of those people because it's a unique group, and it's just interesting to see how people were back then, how they are now, and picking up on things and how people act, how they talk, how they interact with people, and just see the professional like tendencies of some of these people, and see the guys who are making it, see the guys who are struggling a little bit, and just trying to pick up and learn from some of those guys. But the Elite 11 thing, that was kind of a cool thing because just some of the relationships I built from that and some of those guys, because we're all going through the same thing, trying to be good quarterbacks and be the best we can be. But it's kind of cool just following guys and seeing their careers and see what's going on. And it's kind of crazy because from that Elite 11 class, there was 20 of us that went, and I think maybe maybe two are still at the same school. It's crazy how the portal has changed and how, like, at the time, like, we were all thinking coming out of high school, like, man, we're going to go to the school. We're going to stay there. We're going to be the guy. We're going to be there for 4 years and all those things. And then now think of maybe two out of the 20 that are still at the same school.
That's kind of where I wanted to go next with you. In the high school recruiting process versus this portal window, even your wanted app, how has it just so fundamentally shifted? The pace is different. The conversations, I imagine, are different. Like, as you've seen it kind of evolve, how has it changed the most?
It's so different because I feel like when I was coming out of high school, I was a little naive to the college football landscape and the business side of things. Because at the end of the day, it's unfortunate, but a lot of coaches in college football are just in it for the business and in it for themselves and in it for the promotion and not as much for the relationships. And I was kind of naive to that and thinking, man, like, the coach, they want the best for me. And these, like, every coach wants the best for me and they want to pour into me and all those things, which unfortunately that's not always the case. So I was a little naive to that. And I think this portal thing has created a lot of stress for a lot of athletes and coaches too, because now I feel like there's such a demand to win in college football and in football in general. You see it in the NFL too. I mean, all these NFL head coaches getting fired, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, like some of those coaches who'd been coaching the same place for so many years. And it's not even that they had a bad season. It's just, I think there's a demand to win right now. And I think the people at the top of these organizations just want to win so badly that they, I don't know. I think they're just, if it's not good, then we're going to go next man, next coach, next thing. And I think it's just creating a lot of stress for a lot of people. And then that leaves, you know, when you see all these coaches leaving, I think it creates a lot of stress for these athletes. You know, there's a lot of athletes who, you know, are having 3-4 head coaches in their college career, 3-4 coordinators and position coaches. And it's just, it's hard. I think it's really hard for the college football landscape. You don't see coaches staying at the same school for 10 to 12 years anymore. You don't see college football players staying at the same school for 4 or 5 years anymore. It's just so different because, like, even my dad played at Iowa State from 95 to 98. Like, it was, you're going there and you're staying there and you're going to ride it out and you're going to have your group of guys that you guys are going to go through it, good and bad. And I think, I don't know. I don't know what's right, what's wrong with this college football landscape, but I don't know. I think there's some purity in that. But then at the same time, there are some coaches now who, you know, I feel like aren't coaching for the right reasons. And unfortunately, there's some coaches out there that are lying and not telling the truth and promising things that they can't deliver. And I think it's just, there's a lot of gross things in college football right now. And I think it's leaving a lot of people uncertain about how to handle some of these things.
That's really well said. Fortunately, a place that's not happening is here, right?
Yeah,
the relationship's
for sure.
Very strong here at FIU. Take us through that first impression when you talked to Coach Simmons last year for the first time. Mm-hmm. What were you kind of thinking about him that ultimately led you to commit to FIU this time around?
Yeah, and I would say, yeah, FIU is definitely a place where relationships-wise, Coach Simmons, Coach Coleman are two coaches and men that I trust, I believe in, and otherwise I wouldn't be here. They're doing it the right way. They're leading the program the right way. They're doing college football the right way. So if you're an FIU fan or someone that supports FIU, just know that you guys got the right coach in the right place. So that's good to know. So I first met Coach when I left the portal the first time, left Iowa State the first time. I liked him as a person. I liked him as a coach. I thought he would be someone I'd play for. There was some uncertainty about the program, where he was coming from, and I didn't know too much about, I guess, what he stood for and what his culture would be like. And it was another thing, too. Another reason why I didn't come to FIU out of the portal the first time was because Lights from last year was turning 2-year starter, preseason player of the year. So I thought that would be kind of an uphill battle. But just seeing this last year and how Coach Simmons, Coach Coleman handled the season, and I kept up with them. And I mean, I saw when they were, 3-5, and, you know, at a low point, and it seemed like they were struggling to win. And there were some tough games, some close games, and saw just a shift. And I saw the way that team just changed. And to win the last 4 games of the year in November, I think is really, really hard. It doesn't matter where you're at, who you're playing. To win in November is hard. And to see that team win 4 games in a row, and the teams they were beating, too, and good teams too. That was really impressive to see, and just seeing how that team handled, because, you know, when you're at 3-5, there's 2 ways you can go. Mm-hmm. You know, 3-9 versus 7-6, that's a very different season.
Yes,
and just the way they responded to failure and the way that they responded and the way the team responded, it was really cool to see that, because I feel like most teams, most places, most coaches would have given up, would have moved on to the next season and worried about next year and all those things. But, you know, the team responded, and I think a lot of that had to do with what Coach Simmons has been preaching and what he's been doing for this program.
One thing I loved in that very first practice, and I actually said it to Coach Simmons, was that you, Zach, and DJ were like following Coach Coleman around almost, like just constantly ready to ask him any question that came in your mind. Yeah. How great has that relationship been? All three of you getting to learn at the same time.
Kind of what it feels like. We're just all following him around and we're all eager to grow. We're all eager to learn. And I feel like they've created an environment where failure and learning and growing is accepted. And I feel like that's so important, especially for 18 to 22 year olds, is to be okay with failure. And I talked about this the other day, just the importance of failure and how important it is, because I think of me when I was coming out of high school and how like I was scared to fail. I wanted to be successful so bad that I was scared to fail. And I feel like now that's one of the coolest things. And that's why I'm so thankful for Coach Coleman and Coach Simmons, is the environment they've created, the teachers that they are, and how the open communication and all those things. I feel like that's so important and crucial in college football, and from a quarterback to a head coach and a quarterback to offensive coordinator's relationship. I think that's so important, because then it allows me to play free and allowed me to be okay with making mistakes and all those things. And that's where I feel like I grow the most. I was watching this last season. I like watching NFL football, and the team I was very interested in watching this last year was Matthew Stafford and Coach Sean McVay and just their relationship. And I just remember there was a stretch in the season where Stafford threw, you know, over 20 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they were rolling and they were playing really, really good football. But just to see the way that they communicated with each other on the sideline in the headset, and it's just like at another level. And I don't think it's any mistake that those two had so much success last year. It's not a mistake that they, in my opinion, I think the Rams were the best team in the NFL last year, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl. I think they were the most talented team in the NFL, and they were really close to making the Super Bowl. But the success they had and what they accomplished, it's not a mystery that those two were doing so well, just because of the level of communication they have, the connection they have, and the relationship they have. It allows them both to be at their best.
Do you have a favorite NFL team? Like you said, there's not a natural one in Iowa.
I would say I kind of grew up a Packers fan.
Okay.
I got a lot of family up in Wisconsin, so I kind of grew up a Packers fan.
The other thing, as we're talking about playing for different coaches, right, the languages are always a little bit different, but it's the same concepts. So being around the college game as long as you've been, there's not going to be some RPO you haven't seen, right? Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a concept you haven't seen. Does it help being almost fluent in all these different languages as you kind of learn this one here at FIU?
I think it does help just with reads and timing and all those things. It's just terminology, trying to just get the terminology down. But there's a lot of similarity in the plays in the scheme.
I want to kind of get on the personal side a little bit. I want you to be able to tell this story because I think it's really cool. The Willie Phipps story. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about Willie Simmons, but tell folks about a younger Willie.
Yeah, Willie's my friend. So my senior year of high school, connected with my dad. So my dad, he runs kicking camps all over the country, and he connects with this nonprofit organization. It's called Alex's Lemonade Stand. And through Alex's Lemonade Stand, they connect with families who have kids who are facing cancer. And basically what this nonprofit does, it helps provide financially for some of these families who are going through some of these things. So Willie, I got connected through him. He's a friend of a friend. And for my senior year high school, through Alex's Lemonade Stand, people were pledging like money. So for example, like for every touchdown I threw, some people would pledge like $3 or $5 or whatever it was, you know, and they would donate that to charity. And Willie was like my support. Like he was like my kid, like my family that like I was supporting. So at the time when I first met Willie, he was just like almost like a little baby. He was, I think, three years old when I first met him. Willie, he had cancer, so he beat cancer.
There you go.
He had cancer, he had leukemia, but he also has Down syndrome. So he had both of those. He has an older brother and older sister, and they lived just 40 minutes away from me. I see him all the time. Actually, when I went back home, I saw him. Anyways, Willie's this young kid who was, he's five or six now. He's getting up there. But when I first met him, he was just a little baby and had no hair, nothing. But now he's got a full head of hair and everything. And it's kind of cool. I know we're on a podcast right now, so you're not going to be able to see this. It was really cool for me. One of my favorite moments in all of my high school career. He was our special kids captain for our homecoming game.
Oh, cool.
So we were playing Valley, which was a really good team. And if you see there, that's Willie.
JJ's home screen.
Yeah, my background on my phone right now is me walking out with Willie. And it's kind of cool. I kind of get emotional sometimes, but that's his dad. And then his mom's to the other side. It's just kind of cool because in this photo, we're walking out, you know, and for the captain coin flip, for the coin toss. And Willie's holding my hand and I'm holding his hand. And he's looking up at me and he's just trusting me. And it's just, I get a little emotional sometimes thinking about this. But just all that kid's been through, he's been through a lot. And at this moment, in this photo, he's just looking at me. And it's just such a cool moment for me because, you know, I'm about to play a big game, you know, in my senior year. It's homecoming. We're playing a really good team. And before the game, before the coin toss, you know, I'm with this little kid, Willie, who's just putting all his faith, all his trust in me, and a kid who's been up with, again, so much. And he's been battling so many hospital visits. He visited the hospital so many times. And there was times even when he beat cancer, he had to go back and his cancer cells were coming back. And it's just, visit him in the hospital once. And it's crazy what a toll it can take to have a family member or a friend who faces cancer, and not just physically, but mentally and emotionally for the families. There's many nights where his mom would be in the hospital and she wouldn't sleep, wouldn't be able to go to work, wouldn't be able to do any of those things because she's worried about her child. But it was really, really, really cool being connected with Willie. You know, I met Willie, and, you know, I see him every time I go back home to Iowa, and he's just this young kid with so much energy, so much joy. It's so cool to see him because he's a kid who's fought so much already at such a young age. And yet every time I see him, he's just got all this energy, all this joy, running around, happy, excited to see me. And man, it's just so cool to be around him. But yeah, Willie's awesome. Alex's Lemonade Stand, it's a great nonprofit organization. You know, and I'm so fortunate and so blessed to have Willie in my life. I feel like I learned so much from him, just being around him and spending time with him. So I love that little kid. He's so awesome.
Is there a resilience for you? Like, hey, the game on the field's not going as well, but look what he's battled. This is so much less by comparison.
100%. Like that game, I remember that game so vividly. My senior year when we're playing Valley, when Willie walked out with me, I was like, there's no way we're going to lose this game right now. That's what I love about high school sports is it's so small, and it's such a small unit. And like the whole student section, the whole stadium was chanting, Willie, 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 Willie. I mean, that was such a cool moment. I got teared up out there, and I was like, there's no way we're going to lose this game right now.
100%. Is that where you feel oldest, seeing Willie grow up? Because I know seeing little kids in my life get older, and I'm like, ooh, boy, that
crazy.
Hurts.
It's crazy how old he's getting now. And it's just like every time I see him, like he's just getting so big now. And it's like I don't have my own kid, but yeah, he feels like my own little kid. Absolutely. Sometimes. And yeah, it's crazy how old he's getting, how big he's getting already, and how he's able to speak and formulate words and all these things. But when I first met him, he really wasn't able to. So it's just crazy, you know, how big he's getting.
No doubt. That's awesome. Some fun stuff for you. As we sit here in March and it's a beautiful day outside, zero snow at any point. Oh. And, you know, even up at App, right? You know, you don't realize how it snows in those mountains. Yeah. It comes down pretty good. How much have you enjoyed the sun consistently down here?
Oh, it's awesome. There's nothing like it. Being in Iowa, being in Boone, North Carolina, in the mountains. Miami, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, you guys are spoiled down here. I'll just tell you that.
Overall, as you kind of settle into it, right, what have you kind of found yourself enjoying about an urban campus, right? Because obviously Ames, Iowa, Boone, North Carolina, different places than Miami. Just not wrong, right?
Yeah,
just
different.
What have you kind of enjoyed about kind of being in a more city-central focus?
There's so much more to do. I mean, that's really just as simple as it is. You know, I could go to the beach in 30 minutes. I could go to a Miami Heat game. I could go to a Marlins game. I could go to all these different restaurants and see all these different things. And it's just like growing up in Iowa, like you don't know any different.
Right.
But like when you get to a place like Miami and you see all the potential and all the things that you could do and all these places you could visit, things you've never seen before, it's like, wow, I really did grow up in the middle of nowhere.
Sure. Well, while you're there, so Coach Simmons played indoor football, right? And obviously there's a very big indoor football team, the Barnstormers in Des Moines. Was that something you kind of experienced as a kid, or was it more really focusing on ISU?
Yeah, I never went to any Barnstormers games, but I knew of them because of Kurt Warner. And
of course,
one of my dad's teammates played for the Barnstormers, and his son was like one of my best friends growing up. So I knew a little bit of them, but I never went to a game or anything.
I bring it up in part relation to Willie Simmons, in part to flex my Iowa knowledge. So salute to Zombie Burger in Des Moines. It was my go-to spot to eat when we were there because I covered indoor football.
Yeah.
So I actually really enjoyed it. Stayed with a buddy in Guthrie Center, Iowa, which is really rural Iowa.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
So enjoyed it up there. Like you said, it's very different than here, but
oh my goodness,
it's a fun experience.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, you got to go to Poncheros. Poncheros is kind of like a Chipotle, but it's a little different. You got to get a burrito from Poncheros if you ever go back to
Iowa.
All
right. That was a surprise because there was actually a Mexican restaurant right by Guthrie Center, and you wouldn't think that,
no,
right? In the middle of nowhere, Iowa.
It's but nowhere.
It's there. And like you said, it's actually really, really good. I have to ask you possibly the single dumbest question I've ever asked an athlete ever. checking in at 6'7". How often have you been hit by this little gesture here the
last
couple of years?
I have. It's so weird because it just came out of nowhere, all this meme. I don't know. It's kind of dumb, but it's funny. I like, what are the chances that a meme of 6'7" comes out as a 6'7" quarterback? And I thought about doing it after, you know, some touchdowns last year, but I never got the courage to do it. But yeah, it's kind of a dumb thing, but it's funny.
Well, and related to touchdowns, so the second you signed with us, I start thinking, all right, what's going to be his signature touchdown call? And I think very uncreatively, and the same as everyone else, Cole's cash.
Yeah.
I imagine you've gotten Cole's cash a little bit in your life.
Yeah, it's crazy you say that, because I can't remember, the only time I probably went to Cole's is when my mom, growing up, would make me run errands with her. So I can't say that I've ever gone to Kohl's on my own.
Right.
I think I've gone a couple of times when my mom was, you know, on those weekends where I had nothing going on, she made me go with her and run errands.
There you go.
So, yeah, I've been to Kohl's before.
There you go. All right, so we can go Kohl's cash a little bit. Not every time. You don't have as much exposure to it. Off the field, we were actually talking yesterday. You mentioned you like to play poker. What is some of the other stuff you like to do? What are the hobbies for J.J. Cole off the gridiron?
No, I'm not good at it, but I like golfing.
Okay. I'm not good at it either.
I'm not good at it at all. But I like having fun out there.
Same.
Fishing, I feel like fishing too. I like being outside. I feel like being outside, I don't know. I feel like it's just so fun being outside, being out there with friends. And just, I feel like golfing, fishing, poker, like things that kind of take your mind off of football and things of the world. Things like that. I enjoy doing things like that.
All those very social activities.
So. Oh, yeah.
I guess that's the quarterback in you, right? You love talking to people around you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Well, we have been talking to you, and we have really enjoyed it, man. We're so happy you're here. I wish game one, number one at USF was tomorrow. I know you guys don't, but I can't wait to watch you work. We're so excited. J.J. Cole, we appreciate you joining us on the pod.
No, I thank you. Thanks for having me. Come out to the spring game if you got a chance. Otherwise, man, I'm looking forward to this season two, game one. We're putting a lot of work in. This group's been working really, really hard. Coaches are pouring into us, and I think it's going to be a great season.
So we've got our draft coming up here in a couple weeks. Do you think J.J. Cole's the first pick? Or, hey, there's a deep quarterback room. There's depth.
I don't know. I'm excited. I've never done it like this before where it's like a draft. It's kind of cool, kind of fun. Regardless, it's going to be a great time. I can't wait for the spring game. You know, just let it loose. Have fun out there with the guys and just, you know, enjoy it. Being here for like a kind of like a mini game, you know, get the first time of like playing in like a mini game here at Pitbull Stadium. So I'm excited for it.
We're excited for it too. Can't wait. Appreciate you, JJ.
Thank you.
Probably pretty clear in listening to that, but a really enjoyable conversation with JJ there. I was kind of taken aback, to be honest, at how honest he was, at how forthcoming, insightful, emotional. Yeah, that was really cool. Enjoyed every bit of it. Looking forward to watching JJ here in the spring game coming up in a couple weeks. And, of course, this fall, along with the rest of this quarterback room and the rest of this team, as FIU gets a little bit closer to that game you just heard us mention, taking on the Bulls of South Florida in Brian Hartline's first game at the helm of USF. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. So much more going on in spring. Of course, practice continues. The Diamonds continue to roll, and more and more and more here on the campus of FIU. But for now, and as always, pause up.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.